Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, February 12th, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany. It's a joy to welcome you here. And I pray that this will be a time of renewal and reflection for all of us. So we have a tradition here of getting ourselves physically ready to engage in worship and prayer and song and silence by simply celebrating the breath of life, by breathing and naming it as a gift from God. So let's do that. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of this day. Thank you for those in our lives that lift us up, give us strength and courage. Thank you, O God, for the gift of your Holy Spirit among us, the gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus. And as we pray this prayer and breathe in and out, perhaps you can turn your face toward the sky. Call to mind all of these things that you're grateful for, that you receive as gifts. Allow, maybe just allow, a smile to come to your face. And in this posture, we begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in the bulletin. You can find today's bulletin just over to the right of where you found the podcast. Click on that notes icon and the bulletin will appear for you. Let's begin. God, you spoke your word and revealed your good news in Jesus, the Christ. Fill all creation with that word again, so that by proclaiming your joyful promises to all nations and singing of your glorious hope to all peoples, we may become one living body, your incarnate presence on the earth. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from Matthew's gospel in the fifth chapter, verses 21 through 37, in which Jesus says this: "You have heard that it was said of those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the word of God for the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. Would you please pray with me? Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive and among us. We pray that each and every one of us will receive the gift that we need today, your truth, your wisdom, your light. Come to us in this time, we pray. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction. We ask all of this in your holy name and say, Amen. Friends, we carry on in considering the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of this sermon. Matthew tells this story over chapters 5, 6, and 7. Please take some time to read it. Yeah, with Lent coming up, you might choose this section of Matthew as your Lenten study or discipline. So today we encounter Jesus who's in the process, he's just starting this sermon with these folks who have come from all over the place. They've come to be healed. They have been healed. They've already received teaching that to be in his presence is to be blessed. While their outward circumstances may not by any earthly measure appear to be a blessing, that in the presence and in relationship with Jesus, all are blessed. And that each and every human being has within them this this savoriness, this salt and light that they are called to give away. Illuminate the world with their hope and their peace, their love and their joy that they find in the presence of Christ. To share the preservation of hope that comes with their saltiness. But he goes on to teach, too, that in the midst of your joy and in this coming of a new sense of hopefulness, don't think that the law, your Torah, because he is talking to a community of Jewish believers, right? Their first five books of their Bible, which contain 600 some odd laws, that any of it's abolished. No, quite the contrary, he says. All of it is in force. But if you want to follow it, you follow me. I'll show you what it looks like to completely embody a life that fulfills all 613 laws. And he begins, and I don't think it's any arbitrary thing. He begins by teaching on anger and the poison that anger is, and how anger can ruin everything, how anger unchecked can ruin a life, can ruin a community, can ruin a country, can ruin God's good world. My wife and I are in the process of trying to buy a house. And eventually we'll get there. We keep looking. We've bought houses before, and what happens when you finally find the one that you think you want to buy is, at least for us, is we call in a home inspector. We make that part of the agreement. And the inspector will come in and look at the home's systems, its foundation, its plumbing, all the stuff that is not quite visible to the naked eye, and certainly to the untrained eye, it might be missed. And they'll make an evaluation on the value of the home, or maybe in a worst case scenario, they'd say, I wouldn't buy this house. But the point is that they have a way of seeing below the surface. If it's a place that's got new floors and fresh paint and new appliances in the kitchen, and it's got a lot of things that seem to check the boxes on the surface, it's passed all its, it's up to code, it's passed its inspections, it's in the right neighborhood, and you got it at the right price. But there's other stuff going on below the surface that you'll pay for it in the long run if you don't address it now. And that is anger. Right? Anger, he says, you've read the law, right? I've come to fulfill the law. And you know that the law says this. The law says, don't murder anyone or you'll be liable to judgment. He says, let's go deeper. The law says this, and you know this, but we got to go below to the surface. How did you get to the point where you were so angry that you murdered someone? Was it your unforgiveness? Was it that you were very casual in the way you used language and your ability to curse someone you don't even know, maybe? And maybe that if you do that and enough other people do that, you've created a hellish, toxic environment. And you do that enough and you plant your feet in your self-righteousness and you are right and they are wrong. And he says, well, you can take your self-righteousness all the way to prison. You can take your self-righteousness and your anger all the way to hell. And he goes on to teach beyond anger, then he goes to adultery. And again, another law that they all would have understood and followed perhaps at a very surface level. It's that you shall not commit adultery. But I say that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, here's the surface of the law. This part that everyone believes to be simple and understood. Don't commit adultery. Right? Don't have an affair with a married person. But what's at the root? Where's the spirit of it? How is it that you get to the point where you break this top line letter of the law? It's because you've indulged the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. And so before you get down there, name that. Understand where it's leading. Because you're already on the road of that kind of self-destruction. And he really drives his point home. Right? If you're seeing bad stuff with your eyes, pull them out. If you're doing bad stuff with your hands, cut them off. Now, it's a good thing that we're not literalists here, because I'd have a lot of one-eyed and one-handed people in my congregation. What he is saying is, don't participate. Right? It's the old children's song, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Don't let that infect your heart or your home. And then akin to this is his teaching on divorce, which I know is hard. A lot of marriages end in divorce. And he's really addressing the way a divorce was managed in that time and place. And when marriage was largely about property rights. But there is a lot we can learn from his teaching. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. If you're going to get divorced, just make sure you do it legally, that you have the papers signed. And Jesus says, well, hold up. Let's look behind the walls. Let's inspect the wiring of this divorce. What's the spirit of it? Where are we going here? But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, I'll expand on that, if the covenant is broken, he causes her to commit adultery. And as I've been ruminating on this particular difficult teaching, whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. That this woman, this couple, has separated and they followed the letter of the law. They've done what the law says is necessary for a divorce to happen. And he says, essentially, yeah, you've got it on paper. But there's still animosity between them. He has feelings for her, or she has feelings for him. There is a large part of that relationship, that covenant, is still intact. So if he remarries or she remarries, whomever they marry, it's like adultery, because there's a part of them that's still married to the other person. So to be divorced, to truly have that marriage covenant end, is much bigger than the piece of paper and the ruling of the court. That is to say, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. That a yes to following the law, the yes to following the way of Jesus, is a deep yes, is a committed yes, is a challenging yes. It is a worthwhile and eternal yes. Jesus goes on to teach in chapters 6 and 7 about all kinds of things. And if you go and read, you'll see there are so many things that if you've been around church even for just a little bit, or even if you're new, you'll see things I know are familiar to you. You'll see the Lord's Prayer. You'll see the Golden Rule. You'll see and be counseled on what it means to be a hearer of the Word and not just a doer. And maybe, just maybe, when you get to the end of it all, you'll be like they were. Matthew 7, verse 28. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, not as their scribes. Another way to interpret astounded is that they were out of their minds. Like this was, they'd never ever heard anyone teach like it before. It changed their lives, and it changes our lives as well. And it is remarkably, eternally beautiful good news, to which I say, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this sermon, this teaching, this call to reconcile our hearts and our homes and our lives to you. Help us to receive your grace and your blessings and to share that with everybody we meet. We pray for this, your good world, O God. And there's so many things that cause us to grieve and lament. We pray for those who find themselves in positions of power and leadership. O God, show them the way. Prepare for them the way and help them to see it and to follow it and to encourage others to do the same. Bless all those who are hurting on this day, O God. Bless anyone who is frightened or discouraged. Specifically, O God, I lift up the people of Turkey and Syria in the aftermath of this horrible earthquake. So many lives lost, O God. Bring your hope and your light. Help them to truly rebuild. This is a time where there is war and there are rumors of war. Help us to find hope and strength in your word and in your promises. We thank you for the celebrations, the good things, the new jobs, the acceptances, the good reports from the physicians, the children and the grandchildren, the weddings and the baptisms, and the office parties and the friendly neighborhood gatherings for a good meal with good friends. And God, you know the prayers of our hearts. You know the prayer lists that we keep, the joys and the concerns that sometimes we keep very close to the vest. We take a moment to share those with you. We make silent space to be in your presence, to share our prayer lists, and to listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you for the gift of peace and the gift of quiet. We thank you, O God, for the gift of this prayer, the prayer that you taught us in this sermon. Hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May God bless you and keep you. May God make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who indeed bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.